In his spiritual potency, the Supreme Lord enjoys six kinds of opulence. You do not accept this spiritual potency, and this is due to your great impudence. So Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, instructing him. This is Lord Chaitanya Gopinath. Oh no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Instructing him in the philosophy of personalism. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full with six opulences. All these potencies are on the transcendental platform. To understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as impersonal and devoid of potency is to go completely against Vedic information. Maya disya maya vase ishvar jive veda heno jive ishvar saha kahata aveda. Translation. The Lord is the master of the potencies, and the living entity is the servant of them. That is the difference between the Lord and the living entity. However, you declare that the Lord and the living entities are one and the same. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is by nature the master of all potencies. By nature, the living entities, being infinitesimal, are always under the influence of the Lord's potency. According to Mundaka Upanishads, Dvavsuparna Sayujas Sahakya Samanam Visham Parishant Swajjite Tayar Anya Pipalam Swadhyatye Anasamnan Adyo Pichakchak Vikachaksuti Samane Vriksho Purusho Dimagno Nisayam Sojito Mu Yamanaha Justum Yad Ash Justam yada pasyat yanyam isham asya mahi manam eti viti soka. The Mundaka Upanishad completely distinguishes the Lord from the living entities. The living entity is subjected to the reactions of fruitive activities, whereof the Lord simply witnesses such activities and bestows the results. According to the living entity's desires, he is wandering from one body to another and from planet to another under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supersoul. However, when the living entity comes to his senses by the mercy of the Lord, he is awarded devotional service. Thus he is saved from the clutches of Maya. At such time he can see his eternal friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and become free from all lamentation and hankering. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, where the Lord says, who knows that translation, that Sanskrit? 1854? Bhagavad Gita? Mabhuta prasannatma nasochati nakankshati. One who is
transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman.
No,
thus, it is definitely proved that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of all potencies, and that the living entities are always subjected to these potencies. That is the difference between Maya Disha and Maya Vasa. So, here, we understand that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is not an ordinary living entity. He's actually a great philosopher, very deep in the scriptures. Why is he putting forth that the living entity and the Supreme Lord are the same? What is that understanding that he is presenting?
It's faulty, but what is it? Well, how can someone say that the living entities and the Supreme Lord are the same? What is that philosophical basis to that principle? Huh? Yeah, but that doesn't tell me anything. What is the philosophy of that explains that? No. Give some explanation of what is that understanding. Does somebody know? Try to think. What if you say God and the living entities are the same? What is that? What are the principles that brings about that understanding of the sameness? Qualitatively the same. No, he's... Raj Govinda has it. No, qualitatively the living entities are the same. So he's giving what is called what? Partial understanding of the truth. Although he's saying something that is incorrect, it's partially correct. And therefore, from the principle of truth, it's incorrect, because partial truth is not enough. But in that partial truth, there's some understanding of correctness. So the living entities and God are the same qualitatively. So therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is correct in that principle. But he's wrong when he says what? They're quantitatively the same, because the ocean and the drop is always completely different. We see that if you study the ocean and you study the drop from a, from a chemical point of view, basically the same ingredients are there. But when you analyze that beyond, you see that in the ocean there's so many aquatics and so many other aspects to the ocean that are not in the drop. So in the same way, a living entity is eternal. God is eternal. A living entity is by nature chit, full of knowledge. And of course, God is considered full of knowledge. Of course, our knowledge is never as great as God. But still, a living entity is considered to be full in knowledge. The last is the living entity is by nature joyful, ananda. And the Supreme Lord is always in that position of ananda. And the Supreme Lord has vigra, and the living entities have vigra also, form. But there is a difference. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's criticizing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, saying you're incorrect. Because you're giving, actually, it was called imperfect philosophy or partial truth. And why is that incorrection? Why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so enthusiastic to point out this incorrection? What is the danger in that philosophy? It's offensive to Krishna, definitely. What is the danger in that philosophy? And what does that do to the living entity's relationship with God? Yes, exactly. What is the devotee's relationship with God? The word service is right there. You hit it. Service is the key word. That the living entity, when he thinks he's God, then he will not serve God. He wants to become God. And therefore his constitutional position is ultimately lost, because his relationship is devotional service to God. So that's the clear understanding. So it's very important to understand that without devotional service, the living entity develops all kinds of, what do we say, bogus philosophies. Only through devotional service can one understand truth, and one can understand God. Okay, that's a few points from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Any questions? Comments? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12, Text Number 12. Avatara,
Avatara.
Maya,
Maya.
Trista,
Trista.
Ramamanasya, Te Gunai, So Hum Tad Drastum Ichchami Yat Te Yosit Vapur Drittam. Avataram maya drista Rama manasya te gunai Soham ta drastum ischami Yate yoshit vapur dritam Avatara maya drista Rama manasya te gunai Soham ta drastum ichchami Yate yoshit vapur dristam Avatara maya drista Rama manasya te gunai Soham tam tad drista Soham tad drastum ichchami Yate yoshit vapur drustam your various pastimes. Te of you, gunai, by the manifestations of transcendental qualities. Sa, Lord Shiva, aham, I, tat, that incarnation, drastum ichchami, which wish to see, yat which te of your yo sidvapu, the body of a woman, dhritam, was accepted. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My Lord, I have seen all kinds of incarnations you have exhibited by your transcendental qualities, and now that you have appeared as a beautiful young woman, I wish to see that form of your Lordship. This is a very, very short purport. When Lord Shiva approached Lord Vishnu inquired about the purpose of Lord Shiva's coming here. Now Lord Shiva discloses his desire. He wanted to see the recent incarnation of Mohini Murti, which Lord Vishnu had assumed to distribute the nectar generated from the churning of the ocean of milk. End of purport. My Lord, I have seen all kinds of incarnations you have exhibited by your transcendental qualities, and now that you have appeared as a beautiful young woman, I wish to see that form of your Lordship. Om Jnanatim Dandasya Kinachana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shivarve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swapadanti Kam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunityananda Sri Dvaiti Kadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Mohini Murti bewilders Lord Shiva. So this chapter is explaining or narrating the desire of Lord Shiva to see that form that Lord Vishnu exhibited at the churning of the milk ocean. Lord Shiva first, when he comes to see Lord Vishnu, immediately he does not disclose his reason for coming. And this is part of the etiquette in approaching the Lord, is that first, for a number of slokas, Lord Shiva is glorifying the Lord. He's constantly in the mood of glorifying and extolling the Lord's transcendental qualities and his form. And then, after some time, he finally discloses his purpose. There's a kind of etiquette that is very much a part of this scenario that is very important to understand. And that is the actual etiquette that a devotee maintains when he approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or even the pure devotees of the Lord. And the first dialogue is to glorify. Just like when we see the spiritual masters, we pay our obeisances, Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale, according to one's spiritual master. And then, after one pays the respectful obeisances to the spiritual master, and then one may glorify or even honor the spiritual master by saying something, and then one after discloses their particular purpose for coming. Of course, that etiquette is somewhat lost, but that is actually the etiquette. when we write a letter, if we are writing a letter to our spiritual master, the actual etiquette would be to, first of all, for the beginning of the letter, to glorify the spiritual master, and then the second part would be to explain our position as being the humble servant, and somewhat in a humble way, clarifying our position as being an insignificant servant. And then when the proper mood of devotion is established, then one can present one's ideas, one's mind. If we have an ordinary conversation with the Lord or the spiritual master, it becomes somewhat mundane, and transcendental knowledge and even the proper information cannot be properly exchanged in that mood, because the spiritual master is in touch with the Lord and he's giving information and knowledge according to how the living entity approaches. Tadviri patipatenam paripasena sevaya upadeksyanti te gyanam gyaninam tatpadarsanam. So the verse explains that one should approach with submissiveness and inquiry, with a desire to render service, and then information can be imparted like that. That is how the transcendental information. So we see here Lord Shiva, first of all, although he has a strong desire to see the form of the Lord, that is the purpose why he came to see the Lord. He had heard about this most amazing form of the Lord. Never had been exhibited before. The Lord in the form of a very attractive woman. So when he heard that, he immediately wanted to see that form himself. And that's his purpose for coming. But before he discloses his own desires, he properly honors the position of the Lord. And that is very, very essential in getting the mercy of the Lord. So now he's disclosing his desire. And it's interesting because this desire of Lord Shiva is in some way interesting. Interesting in the sense because a devotee wants to see the forms of the Lord. The forms of the Lord are unlimited, and all the forms of the Lord are transcendental. Advaitam, Achyuta, Anari, Ananda, Rupa. And they are inconceivable by nature. And they are transcendental by nature. They have nothing to do with this mundane material world. Although Krishna appears in his transcendental form, sometimes due to a poor fund of knowledge, or due to the material covering, people mistakenly think that Krishna is part of this material world. Many spiritualists say, yes, Krishna is God, but when he comes to the material world, he takes on a material body like you and me. Just like we hear how Lord Nityananda, when he was struck on the head by the pot thrown by Madai, what happened? His head started to bleed. Oh, there's blood. That's material. Therefore, he has a body like you and me. But that's simply to bewilder the atheists and the ordinary conditioned souls. Because to reveal the Lord's transcendental qualities and forms means that one has to be in a mood of devotion to understand these things. But one who knows actually understands, yes, he may exhibit certain tendency of the material energy, but actually his form has nothing to do with the material energy. It is transcendental by nature. That is the nature of the form of the Supreme Personality of God. It is not at all material. Even the deity. Every day we get the opportunity to observe the form of the deity.
In a deity's form.
It's made out of different various metals, right? In fact, there are eight forms that are considered authorized forms of the deity. It may be made out of metal, maybe made out of wood, maybe made out of brass, maybe done with paint, maybe done with sand, maybe done, I forgot all the other forms, maybe done in the mind. There are eight authorized forms of the Lord in the form of his Archivigraha form. But these are not material. Although the elements appear to be material, they're not. If they were material, then the scriptures would be completely wrong, because we find in so many pastimes that the Lord's forms in the form of a deity have talked, have walked, have eaten, and have done various activities like everyone else. There's one deity in South India, and that he's facing backwards. He's sitting forward, but he's turned around looking up, looking backwards like this. He's like that. Why was that? Because there was one devotee who was one of his most pure devotees, but because of a low birth, he wasn't allowed to come into the temple. And therefore, in order to see the deity, the best he could do was view the deity from the back through the window. So as much as he could, he would go and look at the deity from the back. And of course, looking at the Lord from the back is not always, you know, very pleasant. There's something there. But still, he wanted to see the Lord, so he had to look in the window. So what did Krishna do? In order to reciprocate his love, he turned around. And the deity is still today in a turned around position. It's in South India. This was won by one of the Alvars. There were 12 Alvars who are of the Sri Sampradaya, who are the poets, philosophers, and spiritual teachers of the Sri Sampradaya. And so, and this deity is there in order to reciprocate with his devotee. And there are many stories. So the Lord's form is never material. Whether he takes on a material form, appear in material form when he comes to this material world, or he comes in the form of his Archivigraha, it's always spiritual. And the Lord very strongly speaks about his transcendental forms in the scriptures. He says, Avajanti mam mudha manushim tam asvatam param bhavam jnanantam mama bhuta maheshra. So who knows that verse from Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter? Anyone? Avajanti mam mudha manushim tam asvatam Param Bhavam Ajnananta Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. What is that word, Buddha? Huh? Rascal. Yeah, that's correct. It means, in this verse, it means fool. He says, fools deride me when I come in my transcendental form. They do not know my supreme dominion. My supreme position and supreme dominion over all that being. In other words, in any aspect of the Lord's incarnation, his form is always completely in the transcendental position. So, Lord Shiva, he wanted to see that form. He had seen the Lord in many and various forms, and here he is talking with Lord Vishnu again. So he's looking at the Lord face to face. And now he wants to see that form that was there in the churning of the milk ocean. Why is Lord Shiva wanted to see that form? What is the quality of Lord Shiva that makes him curious to see that form? What is it about the devotee that is a quality that is a devotional quality? He wants to know everything about the Lord. He's not satisfied. He wants to hear more. He wants to know more. When he hears something, he's interested in understanding that point. The devotee has, because the devotee is attracted to the Lord, everything about the Lord he wants to know. Of course, this is impossible to reach that stage of knowing everything about the Lord, because the Lord, in all his aspects, his form is unlimited, his qualities are unlimited, his name is unlimited, his pastimes are unlimited, his devotional service is unlimited. He's unlimited in all aspects of his existence. But yet, a devotee can't hear or get enough of the Lord. He's never satisfied just by a little knowledge. He wants to know more and more and more. So Lord Shiva, he wants to see that form. He's never seen it before. He's enthusiastic to see it. And so, of course, without jumping ahead in this particular pastime, you'll see that the Lord does reveal his transcendental form, and then there's some interesting pastime that is part of that exhibition. But now, for a devotee in Krishna consciousness, are we interested in the form of the Lord in Mohini Murti beyond maybe simply a little explanation? Do we want to worship that form? Or do we want to worship the form as Arjuna saw in the universal form? What is the form that is so attractive to the devotees of the Lord? Shyam Sundar, two-handed form. We're not even satisfied or completely satisfied with the Lord in his four-handed form. When the Lord appears at Lord Vishnu, just like when the gopis were looking for Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna had left. And they were looking all over. So finally, Lord Krishna assumed his form of Lord Vishnu in Vrindavan. And when the gopis came, they saw the four-handed form of Vishnu. What did they do? Huh? I didn't catch that. Yeah, they asked him, where's Krishna? They paid her to the obeisances. They said, they offered their respects to Lord Narayan. And they went on, they said, have you seen Krishna? So they weren't interested in that form. So in the same way, a devotee is interested in seeing the two-handed form of the Lord, because that is the form, that is Krishna's original form. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhujami. And that we have a natural attraction for the Lord in his form as Krishna. Of course, all the forms of the Lord are attractive. But it's pretty hard to love the form of Lord Nrisingadev. It's also Krishna, right? He's also Lord Narayan, manifested in that transcendental form. And he's very attractive, in one sense. But to have a loving relationship with Lord Nrisingadev, it's a little hard. You can, in a mood of service. And that is the basis for that relationship. But the devotee is attracted to Krishna in his two-handed form, in Vrindavan. Because that is the form of the Lord, and that is the most pleasing and most satisfying. All the other forms are coming from that form. And he is the original Supreme Personality of God. Of course, there are other forms, just like Murari Gupta, when he was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are so sweet, and you are worshipping Ram. Actually, Krishna is more sweeter than Ram. And you should give up your relationship with Ram and you should worship Krishna. You'll gain much more from worshipping Krishna. So Murari Gupta went home that night. And what happened? Practically, it's explained in that particular pastime, he cried all night. He was so in anxiety. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked me to worship this form of Krishna, but how can I give up my relationship with Ram? It was impossible for him. And so the next day, feeling so bad and feeling so sad, he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, my dear Lord, I just can't follow your instructions. I can't give up my relationship with Raghupati. He spoke like that. And the Lord said, yes. He was very pleased with him. He said, you are Hanuman. And therefore you are always in the mood of worshipping Lord. And so he actually was testing Murari just to show his love for Ram, to bring out his good qualities, to show his love for Ram. He tested him in that way. So the Lord has so many transcendental forms. But mainly the main forms that we worship the Lord are Krishna, Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Ram. These are the main forms. But we're interested to hear all about the transcendental qualities of the Lord's inconceivable nature. Because everything about Krishna is so wonderful. And Lord Shiva, he can't get enough. He wants to hear more and more and more. And this is important to understand, is that a devotee should never be satisfied in their Krishna consciousness. The mood of a devotee in Krishna consciousness is the mood, if mood is always going forward towards Krishna. We're always hankering for more service. We're always hankering for more, to hear more about the Lord. We're always hankering for, to increase in our different aspects of devotional service. Sometimes people mistakenly think, well, I know Krishna. I serve Krishna. But what it means is really they don't know anything. They have no devotion. Because the whole mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, which is the mood of our movement, is that we don't know Krishna. We don't have any idea what Krishna is about. And we're always praying for his mercy and an opportunity for service. That's actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. He taught that. Gopi Bharata Padakamalaya Dasa Dasa Anudas. I'm simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. And when sometimes someone said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why are you crying? You're such a great devotee of the Lord. He said, I am not a great devotee of the Lord. He says, I have no love for Krishna. If I had any love for Krishna, why am I breathing? Why am I eating? Why am I even trying to maintain my fly-like existence? That's what he said. He was teaching that we should always be in the mood that we don't know anything about Krishna, and we're trying to increase our... So the whole process of spiritual life is chasing after Krishna. Krishna is so fast, you can't catch him. But the whole game in spiritual life is to chase Krishna. And you chase Krishna by your devotional service, by increasing your service quantitatively, by increasing your service qualitatively. A devotee is never satisfied by what they're doing. To be satisfied means to be in material consciousness. Krishna may give us some satisfaction in our Krishna consciousness, and that is his mercy. But that is only to increase our devotional service. So a devotee is always wanting to hear more, serve more, chant more, read more, more. And then the whole idea is that when one is so fixed in Krishna consciousness, even if one has material desires, they have no time to deal with them. There's that one famous story when His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture somewhere in India, and there were many, many, many important persons from the area who had come from the local government. So right at the end of the lecture, one of these persons just prostrated himself right in front of Srila Prabhupada, touched his feet. The devotees saw that and they were shocked. Such an important person, he's putting his head at the feet of Prabhupada and he's offering complete dandavats. Very, very humble. So the devotee said to Prabhupada, what is that quality about you, Srila Prabhupada, that invokes these types of emotions from such people? Prabhupada said, I have no lust. So then he turned and walked away. I have no lust, he said. Oh, the devotees were, God, we're so lusty. So,
they were thinking. So they rode back, many of them rode back in the car with Prabhupada towards the hotel. So they were riding there, they were still meditating what Prabhupada said. Then when Prabhupada got out of the car, he turned around, he looked at the devotees, he could understand they were still on his mind what they were saying. He said, it's not because I have no lot, it's because I have no time. And no time. No time for Maya. If we give Maya any time, that means that, you know, that much time we're in Maya. So therefore, devotees should be engaged nicely throughout the day in devotional service. And that is important, because without that engagement, you know, Maya is there. So, and this corresponds with this particular mudra that Lord Shiva, he's Shiva. He's, you know, Vaishnavanam Yatasam Buddha, the greatest of all Vaishnavas. He's got his own following. He's got his own sampradaya. But still, he hears about another incarnation of the Lord. He wants to see it. And he's not satisfied. He wants to hear more and more about the Lord. So that is actually the mood of one in Krishna consciousness. Okay, so perhaps we'll stop there. Yes, Sean?
Isn't that the time when the poison came out?
Okay, so I'm really confused then.
If he was there and drinking of the poison happened, why
didn't he? That was afterwards. After the poison came out first, and then there was the process of churning. And so then after the churning, and then the whole nectar came out, and after the nectar came out, and then it was a big fight. Who's going to get the nectar? So obviously Lord Shiva wasn't there after. He had heard about this personality called Mohini Murti. So he was called to drink that poison. He wasn't there even during the churning. And then he came out of his causeless mercy to perform that service for the devotees. And then, obviously, he wasn't there later. It doesn't mention him being there during that time when the devas and the demigods and the asuras were getting the nectar.
Like, you don't see people that are like Ram and the train. I mean, how can you not recognize
anything about you? Krishna's color is transcendental.
I mean, does he look like a red hair?
Krishna, there's no one like Krishna. If you see Krishna, it's like an experience. You can't compare Krishna to anything in this material world. That's why sometimes they say Krishna's color is like a tumble cloud. But what is it? So to get a little indication of Krishna's color, there's some material comparison. But is that material comparison complete? No, it's just an indication to get a little understanding. Ultimately, one cannot understand. Krishna's color is transcendental. Krishna's form is transcendental. Everything about it is transcendental. That means it has nothing to do with anything in this material world. Because he was thinking he was Lord Brahma. He forgot his relationship. He thought himself as Lord Brahma, the Lord, the creator of the universe. In other words, we were discussing that with the Ramapad Maharaj the other day, how the Lord was thinking, Lord Brahma was infected by the element of pride. As soon as the living entity becomes proud, then they lose their knowledge. Knowledge is lost when pride enters. Because what happens is that what appears to be knowledge, when pride enters, is not knowledge, it's something else. It's the illusion of knowledge. It's called Maya Aparita Gyan. There's knowledge, but the real knowledge is gone. So Brahma became a little proud. Because of that pride, he wasn't able to understand Krishna. And that's a fact. Even in Krishna consciousness, if a person has very good sadhana, very strong understanding of the scriptures, and has so many good qualities, if they're proud, they can't understand anything. And the illusion is they think they're understanding it. And that's what pride does. And then after a while, they fall down. after some time. So pride ultimately destroys everything. Brahma became completely bewildered. So although we were adopting the mood of trying to chant more and read more and study more and serve more, we should always remain humble. Because everything you work for is destroyed by pride. Since it's quite interesting that you can perform so many devotional merits throughout the years, but if you become a little proud, it's all finished. Until you get over that pride, of course. Then you can again come back. But pride destroys everything. You see, many persons within our movement reach very high points of spiritual position. What we might say, they may have become a little proud of that. So one always, that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasizes this one verse, Trinadapi Sanichena Dayorapi Sahishnana Amanina Mamanadena Kirtaniya Sadali. No matter how much you know, no matter how expert you can serve, no matter how nicely you can chant, you should always be in a mood of humility. How do we stay in the mood of humility? We're always realizing how insignificant we are. As soon as we put any importance on our position, then we actually become, we actually lose the consciousness of who we actually are. That's why it's always emphasized, especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, that humility is a very important quality. And pridelessness, without pride. So Brahma, you see, even Brahma became a little proud. What does he think of us? There's a danger. The number one, it's a danger in Krishna consciousness. As soon as you do something that is considered to be outstanding, immediately you're in a position to be smashed by Maya. Because as soon as you think, oh, I've done something wonderful, then pride comes in. And that pride blocks your relationship with Krishna. And then if it continues to stay there, it manifests in a fall down. So one should always remain humble. I'll never give any importance to ourselves. We give importance to Krishna, we give importance to the pure devotees, we give importance to the process of devotional service. We're getting the mercy, and by that mercy, we take that mercy and we run with it. And by running with it, we also attain great achievements. But ultimately, it's the mercy, not of us. As soon as the mercy is stopped, again, you're flat on your face again. We don't see that because that's the nature of the conditioned soul. We can't see Krishna's mercy, how it's working. We take things for granted. We take association with devotees for granted. We take the process of Krishna consciousness for granted. We take the Lord for granted. We take prasadam for granted. That is the nature of the conditioned soul in the material world. So we always have to be in a mood of appreciation, in a mood of service, and a mood of humility. Then Krishna's mercy is there. Real mercy. So pride is very dangerous. And it's very difficult to detect too. Not only is it dangerous, it's hard to detect. When one becomes affected by pride, sometimes they can't even see it. Lust, you know. You can see when you're becoming lusty, right? Kind of like you start manifesting certain actions and thoughts. And you can kind of like detect that. But pride also, there is a type of action and thought that is correlated with that quality. But the thing is, it's so subtle, it's hard to detect. It's very subtle. So therefore, one always has to be in a mood of service and submission. Always interested in rendering service. Okay? Brahma became a little proud. Because of his pride, he was thinking, I'm Brahma. I'm the Lord of all the universe. There's nobody greater than me. And he forgot Krishna. Any other questions? Yes, Sean.
Huh?
Oh, Arani Gashi Poo, you mean?
Yeah. When he went to the Lord's post, he said they were battling, but it was like the Lord was doing a dance and there was no end. It was like that the dance, and Arani Gashi Poo was totally disappeared.
Yeah, he's compared to a wasp. The Sringadeva is compared to the bisector of a wasp. It says just like that verse. Dāvakāra kammala varena kamma bhutta sringam dāvi tāvi ranya kashi putānu brīngam. It's like a child pulls apart a wasp. You know, for a child to take a little bug and pull it apart, it's no problem. So for Lord Nisringadeva to pull apart Radhikashi Poo, it's like that's the analogy. So in comparison to Lord Nisringadeva, although he was a powerful demon, nobody was as powerful as he was. Still, compared to the Lord, his power was not even power, like nothing. So we can get a little hint about our position. If we were next to Hiranyakashipu, we would be pretty much overwhelmed. He's a pretty powerful guy, but compared to the Lord, what's our position? So if you want to really cultivate the quality of humility, here's a key. If you compare yourself to anybody or anything in this world, there's some things that some people you are better than you, and some people that you're better than them. So sometimes you're humbled and sometimes you're proud. But if you always compare yourself to the Lord, what is your position? You always have to realize your insignificant position. So don't compare yourself to things in this world. Compare yourself to things to the Lord, and you always remain humble. Okay? Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.